All right, we got a winner. Oh, we got a winner.
We got a winner.
And they're off.
And here we go.
It's been another week in racing. It's time to recap it. And who better to do it than Michael New Magic? Two bros slash pros who cover the highs and lows of racing around the globe on every one of their shows. Real fans look forward to these guys and their last thoughts, cause they know they're not talking out of their royal ascots. What they say makes sense. So ladies and gents, sit back and relax as Blinkers Off presents The Magic Mike Show, where you hear the experts speak. The Magic Mike Show. Tune into the show every week. The Magic Mike Show. You can trust the show is the bomb, because it's being brought to you by RacingDudes.com.
What's up, everybody? I'm Magic.
And I'm Mike.
And this is The Magic Mike Show, episode 314. Mr. Samich.
Huzzah!
How the hell did we ever get to 314? I say that out loud, and I'm like, wow. We've been doing this a long time. I'm having a great Thursday, whatever day it is. I hope you are, too.
Yeah, it's been a minute, man. Thursday's been a wild one at Belmont. I'm not going to lie. They almost had a pick five carryover in the early pick five. It's crazy. There hasn't been a pick five carryover in New York in I think, over a year at this point. So kind of wild that they almost got there. There's a couple big-time winners that I could never have gotten to, 15-1, 30-1. So trying to hit the late pick four. But other than that, it's been going well, man. Looking forward to having Santa Anita back. You got to be excited. This is two hell of cards on both Friday and Saturday that I've looked at already.
Dude, so that's the best thing I saw. I'm going to jump right in. That's the best thing I saw is not only that, right before we went live, Sunday's overnights came out just as solid. I mean, all 3 days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the racing at Santa Anita is incredible. If you're watching live or the replay, you see the background photo here behind us. Santa Anita's downhill turf course is back at the meet. The Eddie Reed Stakes on the Eddie D Stakes. I always do it. The Eddie D Stakes on Saturday is going to kick that off. So it's very exciting. It's very exciting. Three Breeders' Cup winning runs on Friday, three on Saturday, one on Sunday. Belmont's got two over the weekend. So a lot of action. We're going to have a very busy day today. Blinkers Off is going to be extremely busy. They're talking, I think, 11 races. And then on Monday, you and I are going to be quite busy recapping everything.
Yeah, a lot going to happen this weekend. I got to say, that gate has a very special place in my heart. I don't know if you've ever – so for the Breeders' Cup, my parents and I used to always park in that back parking lot where you go in through the infield, and you can kind of see that back gate there. Usually my dad and I were drunk enough by the end of the Breeders' Cup that we would go and sneak on the downhill turf course, because they leave that gate back there, and take pictures with the starting gate. So I've got five or six pictures with that starting gate from different years of Breeders' Cups with my dad and I. So it's an absolute blast, man. I love that downhill turf course. It's a shame it had to go away, because it's actually wildly safe when they actually compared the numbers. But it got thrown under the bus with everything that wasn't safe that California was doing. So glad we got everything safe, but it's nice to have this specific downhill turf course back.
I was trying to pull up, my computer's being a bitch right now. It's so incredible too. So Kentucky Downs, we talk about having that unique European hillside turf course where they go up, they go down, they go left, they go right. Santa Anita has been doing that for 100 years with this hillside turf course. They go downhill, they hook right, they take a big sweeping left. They got to run across the dirt, which always throws horses off, because suddenly on their periphery, the ground changes and they don't know what the hell's happening. So something always screwy happens there. And then they hit the turf. And when they hit the turf after the dirt, Mike, it's like the gate just sprung open in a quarter horse race, because it is just balls to the wall. Everybody's flying home. It's really exciting race. So I'm happy it's back too.
Yeah, we talk about Kentucky Downs, how, you know, you have to add distance, right? With this downhill turf course, it's like six furlongs. It's not that true 6.5, because you get a lot of horses that are just really easy going down that first, you know, let's say, 2 furlongs, 3 furlongs down the hill before you hit that dirt. But that dirt definitely kind of throws things for a loop a little bit, and then it's a sprint to the finish. So fun turf course. And just, if you've ever been to Santa Anita, so picturesque to see those horses just kind of running down along the hills and then sweep into the stretch. So I love this turf course.
It's a gorgeous photo. If you've had a chance, like Mike, to go up there towards the top of the hill and then look out towards the track, you realize just how high up you actually are on that hill. So it's a lot of fun. But before we do some more Santa Anita talk here on the show, Mike, what's the best thing you saw this week?
I'm going to stick with you, man. It's the Santa Anita PPs. It's actually the whole weekend of racing, because I have a couple tracks I covered for tomorrow, a couple I'm covering for Saturday. I've already gotten through all the cards, and it's just awesome racing. From Belmont, there's great races. From Santa Anita, there's great races. So I'm excited to just kind of get this weekend going. I think it was, is it 9 or 11 winning you're in? Something crazy like that? Over the
9 winning urines between 3 days at two different tracks, yeah.
And I'm excited. I'm going to be on the Breeders' Cup feed for the winning urines from Santa Anita tomorrow. So looking forward to that as well. It's going to be a good time.
Well, that's ironic because I will be at Santa Anita for those Breeders' Cup Winter Inn races. I'm stoked. I'm going back to Santa Anita for the first time since the pandemic. No, wait, I'm sorry, second time. I'm so sorry. I was there for Memorial Day with Geis Paddle and his family. This will be the first time I'm there really working, actually, and covering races, so a little different this time. But I'm very stoked.
A little birdie told me you were going tomorrow. You're bringing Colson to the track for the first time tomorrow.
No, can't swing that one, unfortunately. If it was just a normal Friday, I'd probably try it. There's three Breeders' Cup winning your in races. I've got to write about those. I can't do that and handle having a 5 month old at the racetrack. Although tomorrow is his 5 month birthday, so damn.
There you go. Tech and write one of them.
Not like you can do a whole lot worse. Alaska Bowie likes in the speakeasy. That's the one race I can't figure out. But anyways, so we're going to be covering the late pick four sequence at Santa Anita for this Saturday, October 2nd. October's already here, Mike. Three of these races are Breeders' Cup winning year in prep races. All four of them are graded stakes, grade two, grade one. Mike and I have some pretty strong opinions in some races. We're going to diverge in some others, so it's going to be a lot of fun. Let's get into it, buddy. Riders up. For the late pick four sequence at Sandy Park on Saturday, October 2nd, race, I missed it already. Race 8 on the card is the grade 2 $200,000 Santa Anita Sprint Championship Stakes. It's a 6-furlong dirt sprint. Attracted 6 horses, 3 and up. This is a British opinion for the sprint. We've got the top 3 finishers from the Bing Crosby Stakes in here. Dr. Stivel, CZ Rocket, Flagstaff, all sorts of fun horses in this race. If a Collusion Illusion won the Bing Crosby last year, third in this race last year. So plenty of ways you can go. I hit the all button because I think that this race is a mess and you can make a case for just about every horse because they're all pretty.
Really? Yeah, come on. So I'm going to play 3 tickets here. Oh, you probably, did you freeze or you actually moving there? I can't tell. You're moving. All right.
Cool. Sorry. Yeah.
I'm going to play 3 separate tickets. And one of those tickets I'm calling the burner ticket. And Magic was making fun of me for this beforehand, but it's literally just playing the speed in every race. Because I think you may have 4 wire-to-wire winners in these 4 races. I've never seen a grade 1 6-furlong sprint race that literally, I'm sorry, grade 2 6-furlong sprint race that has one speed horse.
Yeah.
It's Vertical Threat and that's it. There's no one else here who wants to go to the lead. Dr. Scheib was probably the most talented horse. He and CZ Rocket both want to come from off the pace. Flagstaff off the pace. Collusion Illusion off the face, off the pace. So that means it's Vertical Threat or Cult Fiction that's going to be on the lead. Vertical Threat is significantly faster than Cult Fiction from a just like a comfortable gallop. Vertical Threat's going to the lead. I'm not sure they catch him. So I'm going to single up the 2 horse here in my $5 ticket. And then I'm going to use who I think is the best horse outside of Vertical Threat in both my 50-cent and $2 tickets. And that's Dr. Scheibel on the inside. I like the way that this horse has improved from the 2-year-old season into the 3-year-old season. I expect him to come back even better than his last start at Del Mar. My biggest concern, again, is does the pace properly set up for Dr. Scheibel? I think Vertical Threat's going to be tough to catch. I will be putting a win bet in if we get 6-1 on 2-horse Vertical Threat.
Vertical Threat knows a horse that the My Race Horse folks, they co-own with Slam Dunk Racing, we're familiar with. They're very high on this horse's chances as a sprinter. When he was a 3-year-old, he had 2 very strong wins, going 6 furlongs on dirt, winning a stakes race. He went to Mahoney Valley late in his 3-year-old year, won a sprint in the mud, wins one at Charlestown. He had trouble getting back as a 4-year-old, so that's why you see that big gap there. But now the Bing Crosby was probably very much a tough task. You got a lot of tough for California racing horses in that grade 1 race at Del Mar. But he comes back here after winning at Charlestown, which I think, that being a 2-turn race, I think it just sharpened him up a little bit more for this spot.
Yeah, well, you look at that Bing Crosby, right? And they go 21-4, and he's a length off the lead, right? That is just a wicked fast pace with a bunch of talented horses. It's why it set up so well for Dr. Scheibel to be able to come from off the pace and win.
Yep.
That's just not happening today. You run 21-4, you're 3 lengths ahead of this field. So I think it's a very different pace setup and a different field size as well, which kind of adjusts or what makes that trip up front a little bit easier. I mean, you had 8 horses in that race, which I know is only a couple more than 6, but you had 8 horses with multiple speed horses versus a 6-horse field with just 1. So I like the 2 trying to go wire to wire here. I don't like CZ Rocket. I don't like Flagstaff. I'm not a big Collusion Illusion fan unless he gets the pace set up. And so, you know, maybe if we're going 7 here, I'd be using CZ Rocket or Flagstaff. But at 6, I think it's going to be tough to catch the 2 horse.
Yeah, it's. I had enough question marks about this race and a strong enough opinion later that I was able to hit the all button. It's only six horses in this race, so I'm not wasting too many bullets here. But like Flagstaff, I think, is probably the most talented horse, but he's probably better 6.5-7, like what you were saying. Collusion Illusion, I've got a lot of question marks. Is he the same horse at four? He was supposed to return in the Bing Crosby Stakes. He had a small issue come up. They didn't want to go to the Pat O'Brien because Mark Glass said 7 furlongs would be too long for this horse anyway. So they went to the Green Flash Handicap on turf. That was a complete dud. Now we're going back to dirt. We're adding blinkers. Pratt stayed on Dr. Scheivel, so you know, lots of question marks there. CZ Rocket, is he the same horse? Can he win without being on Lasix? Cold Fiction is a horse that you'd be like, well, this is a cowbred gelding that's, you know, was beaten Maiden Claiming Company before. But the fact that we're, like, I'm saying at least this horse isn't a complete utter toss out in this, it wouldn't be the biggest shock if he won. That's why I'm hitting the all button.
Collusion Illusion.
Yeah, that he's the one. Well, no, that was the one that I said, like, with the turf, the blinkers, all that stuff. Yeah. There's a lot of question marks, yeah.
I would be pretty surprised if he wins. Maybe he comes back huge second off the layoff.
And sorry. You're saying right. Collusion Illusion would be the surprise. I agree with you. I think he'd be the most surprising winner in this field.
So, and the reason that Cold Fiction, I think, has a better chance is if the two misses the break, then Cold Fiction now inherits the easy lead, and you never know what can happen when you got a horse just running free out there. But, yeah, I mean, hopefully – we can get look, the two horse is 6-1. It's the second longest price on the board as well. So if the two comes home, your all isn't so bad here.
Right. One last note on Collusion Illusion. I do own a share of him through my racehorse. He worked in blinkers for the first time and went 47-2 from the gate, and that's why he's adding blinkers for this race. So we'll see if maybe the blinkers can throw a little bit in there. But again, I agree with Mike. He's probably the least likely winner the way we're looking at this race. Let's move on to the second leg, Mike, of the late pick four sequence of Sandy on Saturday, October 2nd. Race 9 is the Grade 1 $300,000 Rodeo Drive Stakes. I'm on the wrong day. You got it. Phillies and mares going a mile and a quarter on the turf course. They're going to start at the bottom of that downhill course. Mike, I chalked out here. You got the 4 going to Vegas. He's your 5-2 favorite. The 8, Luck, is 3-1. I took 3 of the top 4 horses price-wise here. I think this is a little bit of a chalky spot, as is the next one. What did you think a little bit here?
Well, I mentioned the burner ticket. We're going to keep going with the speed that's clearly, obviously, the only speed in the race. Going to Vegas, the 4 horse here, has a 92 time 4 rating early. You want to guess what the second highest early time form rating is?
It's not close to that.
67.
Jesus.
And that's the only other horse that's over 60. So this is like, not only is this a lone leader, this is a lone leader with nobody that wants to be close. So you're almost trying to project who is the pace pressure, because there is no other pace pressure coming from anywhere. So I think 4 going to Vegas is going to wire this field. I don't think it's going to be that big, that tough for him. He's going to make this into a 6-furlong sprint to the finish and go very slowly and still be a length or a length and a half up. No one else wants to go 49 in this field, and he can go 47 comfortably. So for me, going to Vegas here is going to be awfully tough. I agree with you. The 8 horse Luck is really intriguing. I'm not sure if this horse can show more speed. It had trouble with the break last time, but it was far back in Europe. So last time you could kind of excuse why it was far back, but in those European races, it was far back. So I think that that's kind of the running style. You get Pratt aboard, looked very good first time in North America. I would expect the horse to take a step forward here second time in North America. I'm just not sure if the pace is going to compromise him too much. Other horse I snuck into both the $2 and the 50-cent ticket here is the 5, Ride for the Cause. The one of the 5 is going to be the horse that's sitting in second. I'm not sure which it's going to be. I think it's going to be the 5, Ride for a Cause, who at 15-1, I'm willing to take a little bit of a shot at, who gets first run at going to Vegas. And if Ride for the Cause is able to sit right behind Going for Vegas, get first run, take the lead early in the stretch, he could be very tough to catch out front. And so I'm going to go 4, 5, 8 here, and maybe we get a price home here with the 5, or just keep this this burner ticket going with the 4.
Well, I'm going to agree with you on the top two. They're 4 and 8. Those are the two price horses, or two short price horses I said I was going to use. The 8 Luck, I love the fact that Pratt is going to ride now after Respoli was aboard. Respoli was on dog tag all through her racing career, and then it decides to jump off here. Then is going to be at stay with Going to Vegas, who Pratt was on last time. The only reason Pratt was on Going to Vegas last time is because Respoli was on dog tag. There's all sorts of weird jockey changes happening here. I was texting with John Lees last night, I'm like Charlie Day from that It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia meme, where it's like all the things are on the board and I'm trying to connect everything. Listen, the simple fact is Pratt, Respoli, they're amazingly talented on the turf. It doesn't matter which one of these is going to be on the horse. I'm with you. I love the 8 Luck. Also, England's Rose, the runner-up in that race when Luck won very, very impressively, won next out. The third horse I'm going to use here We talk about how all year the European horses are better than the American horses on turf. The East Coast horses are better than the West Coast horses on turf. I got an East Coast horse in the 7, Magic Attitude, coming over. She did not look good in the Diana or the New York, but guess what? She's not facing Althika. She's not facing Mean Mary. She's not facing Summer Romance. None of those horses are in this race. This is a much easier spot. As far as a grade one goes, this is a very weak grade one turf race. I think that she's going to be able to sneak back in here and win just like she did in the Belmont Oaks last year. So I use the 7. I also at the last second snuck on the 2 Fast Jack Court, a Michael McCarthy trainee, stablemate of your 5 horse here. Drayden Van Dyke is going to ride second out. She's the only horse in the John C. Maybe last time out that I wanted to play. I thought with that being her first time in America, her first time for McCarthy, first race in 6 months, she ran pretty well. I thought that with the experience, this is a horse at 10-1 I'm looking to play. If her odds really plummet, which fortunately not going to know once the ticket's punched in, if her odds were lower than this, I wouldn't want her. But at 10-1 Mike, I think I'm getting some value on her.
Yeah, I mean, I don't hate using the 2 or the 7 here. I think both are kind of logical horses. The one horse I wouldn't use is the 1 Dog Tag. This horse just kind of consistently isn't able to get the job done. And at 4-1 I just have no interest in playing that horse. For me, and this is, again, it goes back to, I think the 4 is a controlling speed. I don't want to include 4 or 5 closers against a controlling speed horse. And that's why I really shortened this leg down, because I wanted to make sure I found somewhere to get a price. And I wanted to kind of have that controlling speed in there and then take the best of the horses that I thought were left. And I think Luck kind of is a better version of the 7 and the 2, although I am a little bit scared of Magic Attitude.
She brings a lot of class and a lot of East Coast experience over. So I think she'll also be a nice measuring stick for us, Mike, to try and see, you know, what are the East Coast horses when we get to the Breeders' Cup, because this is a winning year for the Filly Mare Turf, just how much better the European horses might end up being. You talked about wanting to narrow it down a little bit in some spots. Let's talk about where I narrowed it down to, all the way to single, race 10, the grade 1, $300,000. Awesome Again Stakes, field of 8, males 3 and up, going 1 1/8 on the main track here. That 1 1/8 distance, Mike, is a key reason why a lot of these horses I'm fading, other than the fact that I'm chucking the entire Pacific Classic crowd. I'm singling your 5-2 favorite, number 5, Vedina Spirit, who skipped a $1 million race against 3-year-olds and one of the best 3-year-olds in the country to come here and face what is, I think, is probably an easier group overall.
Yeah, this didn't come back very strong. And look, we talked a lot about this when we were talking about the Derby. Medina Spirit is just kind of that sneaky fast horse. It's able to get to the lead, has a high cruising speed, and able to just get the job done. I agree with you. I think Medina Spirit has a shot to go take this field wire to wire. I understand why you're singling here. I'm going to single Medina Spirit in both the $5 burner ticket as well as the $2 play that I'm going to press. This is one of those spots where, like, I don't want to take shots. I agree with you. The Idols, the Tripolis, the Express Trains of the world, the, you know, even our boy on the inside there, Tismagician, they're not quite as good. I mean, it's just, that's kind of the bottom line. And so you got to really shorten it here. I'm going to go too deep in my 50 cent ticket. I'm going to use the other Baffert. Look, Azul Coast. Hey, I know, laugh. Ha ha ha.
No, I'm laughing because, like, why not? Look,
there's got to be a reason that Baffert likes this horse in this spot. That last race was really good, popping a career best 99. We're getting third off a layoff. This horse should like the distance, is 1 for 2 at the distance already. This was one of those horses that was supposed to be amazing in this authentic class. This was, you know, like, and so maybe we're just kind of getting that later developing Bob Baffert horse. And the fact that you dodge that race for Medina Spirit to run in this spot instead, and then you also put Azul Coast in here, tells me, I think Azul Coast is probably ready to run a big one. So I'm going to put the 2 of them in the 50 cent ticket to give myself a little bit coverage. But for the $2 and the $5 ticket, I'm going to use just the 5 horse Medina Spirit.
Mike with a comment, he says, Medina looked like poo last workout. I didn't see it. I know he went 59-4, which is, that's an average time for a Bob Baffert horse, Baffert, honestly. Yeah. but the fact that Velasquez is coming out to keep the ride is a big sign to me. Here's the thing about Medina looking like poo, if you thought that, and he very well might have, you might know workouts better than I do. I will only say the one time I fell into a trap hearing that a Baffert horse was working like shit was Charlatan right before the Malibu. And my God, I think that might've been the horse's best race. So I'm just saying, sometimes Baffert likes to throw up little oddballs in the workout regime. But it sounds like Mike and I, at least, we're on the same page here. And it's that as much as we love Tismagician, we love being co-owners of him, we love how well he ran the Pacific Classic, he's now entered officially, along with Tripoli, that group of older males on the West Coast in the dirt handicap division. They just beat up on each other. They take turns beating up on each other. So every horse that has been beating up on each other, I'm going to throw in Midcourt into that. Stiletto Boy, I'll throw into that as well. These horses just keep beating up on each other. we're looking for the new shooters here, which is the five Medina Spirit and then his stablemate to the outside, Azul Coast.
Yeah, and I would almost compare Tis a Magician to Midnight Bourbon in a way, where mm-hmm. Tis a Magician's going to do his best running on the front end. He's not that naturally fast, but he digs in, he grinds, and he is fast enough to get the lead in a lot of scenarios. We saw what happens when he's not fast enough to get the lead. And that was Hot Rod Charlie absolutely put away Midnight Bourbon last time out. And you saw the time before that, Essential Quality, who I think is a better horse than Hot Rod Charlie, had a really tough time running down Midnight Bourbon because of the pace setup. This is a situation where I think Tis a Magician ran big last time, but he had that pace setup. Medina Spirit is faster than Tis a Magician. Tis a Magician is not beating Medina Spirit to the first turn. And that means that he has to pass Medina Spirit, which... Sorry, buddy, he ain't doing. No. So it's just one of those things where it's like, okay, if you kind of carve out how this race plays out, I'm Medina Spirit's probably a length and a half up and just kind of cruising. And that's a lot of trouble for the rest of this field.
The one horse that I am worried about beating me is not Tis Magician. I love him, but I think you outlined the points perfectly. If you like Express Train, I've said it before, I cannot get John Sheriff's right to save my life. So if you like Express Train or hell, even freaking Midcourt, throw him on your ticket. Express Train wouldn't be a total – Midcourt would be. I don't even know why that horse is in this race. He should be in another allowance. But Express Train just is – he does this. And it, whenever he peaks is when I'm against him. So if you like him, go ahead and play him in this spot, I guess.
You could make a case for Idol, too, if you really wanted to. I think, you know, he's coming off a layoff, first time out in the later four-year-old season. They want to have him in the Classic, so this is kind of that one prep for the Classic. So, and you know, Baltus, pretty good, 26% off 180 days plus. And if he improves, and he has improved almost every single start in his career, late in the four-year-old season, the logical improvement angle, first time out, and this is a tough spot to put him back in if you're trying to prep him right into the Breeders' Cup. So I wouldn't be shocked if Idol runs well. I just... For me, again, I want 10-1 plus if I'm trying to beat Medina Spirit in this spot. And the only horse that jumped out to me at 10-1 plus was Azul Coast.
Yeah, because you're not taking Midcourt, and you're not taking Stiletto Boy. And other than that, you're looking at 5-1 or cheaper. So but another reason why I was against Tis Magician in this spot, 4-1, buddy. I love you, but not going to take it.
What price do you think Medina Spirit goes off at? Because 5-2 is a joke.
9-5.
Ooh, I'll take the under. I think it's going to be like 6-5.
That low. Wow.
Yeah.
Could be. I mean, boy, Tiz is going to take a lot of money. He always does. Tripoli will take money off of all three of his dirt efforts, to be honest. Express Train takes money. Yeah. I don't know. We'll see. You're better at this stuff than I am. So we'll see what happens.
I'll give you 8-5 and up. I'll take 7-5 and lower for a case of White Claws.
I'm sorry. Does my name look like Ed DeRosa? Am I taking sucker bets with you right now? No.
Oh, come on.
Let's move on to the fourth and final leg of the Late Pick 4 sequence at Sandita Park on Saturday, October 2nd. Race 11 on the card. Mike, this is a fun one of not one, not two, but 13 males going a mile and a quarter on the turf course here in the Grade 2 $200,000 John Henry Turf Championship Stakes. And your favorite is your defending Gate to Wire champion, the number 4, United at 5-2 for my boy Flavian Pratt. You know he's my top choice. But I did go 4 deep here. What are you doing here?
Well, I'm going to stick with the burner ticket. I did add the 4 United on the $5 ticket. So I'm going 2 deep here. So it's a $10 total ticket or total play on the $5 ticket. I think Neptune Storm is really dangerous in this spot. I'm a little concerned about the mile and a quarter distance, but I think that Neptune Storm is clearly the fastest horse. I actually think, and I was going back and forth between Neptune Storm and Award Winner as the horse to use here, because I think Award Winner, who is my third choice in this race, is going to get a very, very, very nice trip right behind Neptune Storm. But I do think Neptune Storm is the horse that is able to get the lead in this spot. And just, again, we keep talking about this. I don't think there's that much pace in here. I know it acclimates in here. I realize that Award Winner's in here. But if Neptune Storm clears into that first turn and you're on the rail, I don't see them trying to press each other. It makes absolutely no sense to do so. And if you have Neptune Storm, who's kind of more of that miler than starting to stretch out, you look out, especially since we got Peter Miller trading this horse. Just saying, if we can get that mile and a quarter distance, I think Neptune Storm is really dangerous at 6-1 here.
You and I, the pace is definitely the where I looked at this too. It sounds like we both attacked this handicapping wise the same way. Award Winner, I'm with you, I think is going to sit a very close trip. I think Neptune Storm, if you go off the Timeform US early pace rating, his 110 blows everybody else out of the water, right? Acclimate's what, 94? However, Acclimate in his last 11 races has been not on the lead by multiple lengths once. He is Neptune Storm is faster. On paper, he is faster, but Ricky Gonzalez is a speed jockey, and the only way Alchemy has a shot in hell at winning this is if he goes to the lead. I think that Ricky burns up on Acclimate, and I think both of those horses burn out. That's how I saw this, but I think Neptune Storm at least is the fastest one on paper.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I think that definitely is a concern in playing the three-horse Neptune Storm. If that happens, I think the one award winner sits a dream trip right behind the two of them and could be very dangerous. And he has won at a mile and a quarter before and clearly likes the Santa Anita turf course more than the Del Mar turf course. So mm-hmm. I am using the one if you can't figure that out by now. but yeah, look, Neptune, like, at some point you're going to have to make a decision. And you're going to have to decide, am I going to really just burn Acclimate up, or am I going to try and sit right behind or sit in the two path the whole way around? And because we are going a mile and a quarter, and when you see the mile and a quarter pace rating, like Acclimate's doing 49 halves in those mile and a quarter races. Mm-hmm. You're not getting 49 in this spot. And because of that, I think you're going to end up seeing Acclimate second or third in this spot. Now, if Acclimate absolutely sends, I don't like the three as much. I kind of want the lead here. I think that's the real big advantage for Neptune Storm, but we'll see how this pace ends up playing out. Either way, I don't like Acclimate, and I do like the three and the one in this spot. For me, the next horse in, you know, I agree with Nick Feldman here. I think Masterpiece has a really good chance at running a big effort, and we're talking about these three pace horses. I don't think it's going to be that crazy up front, but if it is, a horse like the number seven Masterpiece is really going to benefit from that crazy pace. I think he can run a big time effort, second time in the McCarthy Barn. Looked great first effort, just missed winning to a long shot. I think Masterpiece is going to be ready to roll.
You know who else thinks Masterpiece is going to be ready to roll is Drayden Van Dyke. He was extremely excited about this horse. He thought he should have won the Del Mar Handicap, and that was his first time in the McCarthy Barn, and that's not usually a high percentage angle. So now we're getting second time with McCarthy. He's had his hands on this horse for a while. Chad Brown sent this horse to the West Coast. He told Don Alberto, he's like, get this horse to the West Coast. He needs firm turf, which is what McFeldman brought up, which is what you bring up here. I thought that there were two horses out of the Del Mar Handicap that I definitely wanted to play next. Well, really three horses. Two of them we've talked about. It was United and now Masterpiece. I think that those two horses had the best talent in that race. I thought United had the worst trip in the race. So you and I are going to agree there. I thought that the horse with the second worst trip overall behind United was the 10 Red King. If you go back and watch the Del Mar Handicap, Rosario had that horse stuck inside. He was waiting behind horses. He had to check a couple of times. When he finally got going, he actually was running on pretty strong there. Del Mar, we've talked about a lot, very short stretch, didn't get there in time. This horse has talent. He's an English Channel, so you know he's going to be able to handle running long. We've seen it from him in the past. The question mark is, you know, did he peak last summer when he won the Del Mar Handicap? We haven't seen him win since then. So a lot of chance question marks, but I'm getting Joe Bravo, who's extremely talented on the turf. I'm getting 15-1. So I'll take that spot. You and I agree on one other horse. I will let you talk about the 12 Friars Road.
Yeah, I was actually between the 10 and the 12 as my last horse to use. So it's interesting that you ended up using the 10 there. Red King did have a ton of trouble. So don't blame me for that use at all. I think that this and Bravo has been wonderful. Was wonderful at Del Mar on the turf. So look, I talked about this all the time. I like horses doing something for the second time. Red King is one of those horses, or I'm sorry, the 12 Friars Road is one of those horses that clearly had some tout early on its career out of the Michael McCarthy Barn. Runs at a mile and an eighth in a maiden special weight at Oakland, ends up running second. And as a maiden, they enter him in the Santa Anita Derby. They liked this horse quite a bit. But then if you look at the breeding, Quality Road out of a Giants Causeway mare, kind of like that for turf. The Tomlinson isn't a huge turf number, and that's probably why we tried the dirt quite a bit. But that still is a pretty good turf setup. And you see, like, right out of the gate, first time on turf, this horse runs a career best buyer late in the four-year-old season coming off a layoff. Now he gets second off a layoff, second time trying turf. And I like the fact that we aggressively place this horse with another McCarthy horse in the race. It tells me that McCarthy thinks this horse is ready to roll. We're expecting a big-time improvement here. It's going to take a big step forward to be able to get the job done. But at 15-1, I'm willing to take a shot on the 12th horse.
On August 28th, you were in Las Vegas at NHC. Aaron Jarrett, everybody, they were at Saratoga with Slim being Borat capper. I was at Del Mar on the John Lee simulcast show. John Lees and I both loved the hell out of this horse in that race. We both made him our top pick. We both had some money on him to win, I believe. I know I did. So when he won, very convincingly, I was very happy. When I saw him show up here, I'm like, okay, McCarthy saw what we were hoping to see in that race there, which was that he ran like a beast, ran like the turf pedigree says. Even though the Tomlinson's not there, the way he ran, it backed up what we were thinking about him. So I'm fully on board with you on Friars Road. The 15-1 prices on both of these, I think, are pretty great. Let's go back to United because we haven't talked about him. He's by far the classiest horse here. We played this game with Medina Spirit. What does United, the 5-2 favorite, go off here?
3-1?
Up from 5-2.
5-2? This is a competitive field, man. I mean, we're talking 12 deep. I mean, I can make a case for quite a few in here. And then you look at what United has gone off in the past. Like last time, the Del Mar Handicap, grade 2, went off at 5-2 in an 11-horse field that was competitive, kind of similar to this. Time before that, went off at 7-2 in the grade 2 Eddie Reed. That was only a 7-horse field. That had smooth like straight, which obviously took a bunch of money. But I don't think this horse is going to get hammered that hard, especially when there's a lot of other horses in here. And there's some interesting ones. Like, look, he just lost to a couple of these horses. He just lost to Acclimate, just lost to Masterpiece. So I have a feeling that you're going to get around that 5-2 morning line.
That's going to do it for this episode of the Magic Mike Show. Thanks for joining Mike and I to go through the late pick four sequence at San Diego on Saturday, October 2nd. Three of those are Breeders' Cup winning. You're in prep races. If you want full race previews of those and the other nine, or all nine races that are Breeders' Cup winning this weekend, head over to racingnews.com. If you go to the Breeders' Cup page, we have everything there to cover for you. Mike and I are going to go through our tickets one last time. If you're watching, just look below. We've got it right here. Mike, I'll start off for 50 cents. I'm going all in the first leg, 1-6. Then going 2-4-7-8, singling our buddy Medina Spirit, the 5-4s, and then going 4-7-10-12. That is $48. Start with your 50 cent, please.
Yeah, for 50 cents, I'm going to play 1-2 with 4-5-8, with 5-6, with 1-3-4-7-12. That'll cost you $30 for 50 cents. I'm going to follow it up with a $2 ticket, which is a little thinner. Go 1-2 with 4-5-8, with 5, with 3-4, and then close it out with my $5 burner ticket. That's going to be 2 with 4 with 5. With 3-4. Total, that's going to cost you, what, $64. And before we jump off the horses, too, I want to quickly mention, Cindy mentions the 8 horse here.
Oh, shoot, thank you. Yes.
In this race, I actually looked at this horse for a while. It's a Baltus horse. It's third time later in the four-year-old season, third off the layoff, third time North America. The reason I didn't use this horse was the distance. The horse has never tried over a mile in Europe, and rarely do you see that in Europe where they don't try longer, where there's a lot more races carded for longer, then they come over to the U.S. and they're able to win at longer distances. And not a complete chuck for me. It was one I looked at for a while, but because of the distance, that's the reason I ended up not putting the 8 on the 50-cent ticket.
Thank you for pulling that up. I meant to do that and then completely lost track of it. Yeah, the Count to Amazonia, right? That's the 8 horse.
Yep.
Same concern for me was the distance. However, like I said, with Express Train, I can't get John Sheriff's right. Mike knows I can't get Victor Espinosa right at all. So if you like, I mean, I'm not using this horse, and Victor's aboard and almost won last time. We saw what happened with Astronaut in the Del Mar Handicap.
Well, and if you're going deep in that race, adding another isn't that big of a deal, right? For me, it's a $6 horse. If I wanted to add it, make my 50 cent ticket $36. So if there's any race where I'm spreading, it's that last race. And that is, you know, one of those horses where if you want to include the 8, you want to include the 10, those are some of the horses I would consider including. If you're not playing the press tickets and you want to play a little bit more on the 50 cent ticket, I think, you know, using the horses like the 8 and the 10 horse in the last make total sense.
Like Mike said, that's probably pretty much going to wrap it up for the horse racing talk. Blinkers Off will be on later today, so make sure you tune in for that. They're going to be going through all 9 Breeders' Cup winning your prep races for the weekend, as well as the Arc de Triomphe, which is going to be in Paris this weekend. That field looks incredible. If we got half those horses for the Breeders' Cup turf, it'd be the race of the weekend. So make sure you tune into those. That's going to be a really great show. The Rocket Hour will be back tomorrow morning. I assume they're going to be doing Belmont Park. I wish they'd do Santa Anita, but they're going to do Belmont Park. So make sure you tune in for that. And then, Mike, one more time, plug what you're going to be doing on Saturday.
Yeah, I'll be on the Breeders' Cup feed. So if you're following Breeders' Cup on Twitter, if you're following them on Facebook, you can check me out there. We're going to cover the Winning Your In races on Saturday. So the races we just talked about, but talk about the live odds and kind of race-by-race betting, how we would handle it for those races on Saturday on that feed. You can also check it out on America's Best Racing's feed as well. And we're going to have people live at the track, as well as 4 of us that are going to be here going through the races.
Yeah, I will be at Santa Anita, so if you happen to be at the Great Race Places on Saturday, let me know. I'll come say hi. If you are watching the feed and Tiz the Magician wins, yes, that is magic, screaming and running around and crying that you can hear very clearly through your TV sets.
Did you get it on the drawing to be in the paddock and to go to the winner's circle? Or?
So did they do that for the winner's circle now too? It was just the paddock.
It was just the paddock, and everyone can do the winner's circle?
Yeah, because that's kind of the fun. It's like even doing the paddock, the horse gets your photo taken. There is this thing called a press pass that I have that permits me to go to the paddock. Lotteries be damned, I do what I want. No, I shouldn't say that out loud. It's very nice that I'm able to go down there. So I will be part of it. I don't enter the lottery because I don't want to take somebody else's spot for that or for Collusion Illusion. And the others. They have 3 back-to-back-to-back. They've got going to Vegas – They've got Collusion Illusion, and they got Tis the Magician. That's in my racehorse pick three. If you want a hunch play, throw that in for a dollar.
I got to say, the security at Santa Anita isn't exactly rock solid. I'll just put it that way. The first time I remember I had a horse there, I was all nervous about walking in. And if you just walk in like you're supposed to be there, they're just, come on in. You know?
That's my number one secret. That's my number one secret. Anywhere I go, act like you belong there. It's amazing the places they let you go or get away with.
Have you dressed the part, man? They're not telling you to stop.
Yeah. Yeah, there have been times where I'll flash my press pass, and they just, they've already looked away, and they're like, huh? Oh, yeah, no, go ahead. You're fine. Yeah. Whatever. Or, then they go, wait, what is that? Now I have to stop you. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding. No, of course, the security. Actually, the security is lax there, because you remember that guy, that the 98-year-old war veteran I told you about who saved the little girl in the paddock? So he retired. They're having a retirement ceremony. They're giving a big plaque at the track tomorrow. So that's pretty cool. Nice. Very cool. I'm actually sad I'm not going to be there for that. Anyways, that's going to do it for the horse racing side. So head over to racenews.com. We have previews and picks for every race, every track around the country. The Sumo Bombs, the Rocket, Ricky's Rockets, covering all the big tracks. Actually, you know what? I'm sorry. One last time, Mike, plug the Sumo Bombs, because last weekend you started giving out free articles on the site, and two of them cashed. Free articles cashed.
Yeah, it was kind of fun. So I'm trying to switch it up a little bit, got a little bit more time to focus on the racing side of this. So I'm going to do two tracks, hopefully Thursday through Sunday. One of them will be grid and tickets. The other will be grid only. On the grid only one, I'm putting up the late pick four for it. So last Thursday, it was Belmont. We cashed for, I think it was a $48 ticket, cashed for about $1,500. Last Sunday, it was a $37 ticket that cashed for $660. So it was about $2,100 back for $150 or so for the weekend of pick four tickets. Today's has not actually started yet. It's Churchill Downs late pick four, and it's Twilight Racing today. So I think you still got about 25, 30 minutes if you want to run over to racingdudes.com and check out the Sama Bombs article for today's late pick four at Churchill.
Head on over to racingdudes.com. We're going to switch gears now. We're going to talk about some football, Mr. Samich, because as good as your free pick four ticket articles have been on the site, your picks in the racingdudes.com sports section, they're somehow even better. So tell me about what's going on here this weekend and any games that might have caught your eye right now.
Yeah, been a good start to the season. 12-4 in the actual six pack. And then, just a quick little, what is it, 9-0 in the honorable mentions. So pretty good run so far. We're going to do the six pack again this week. Don't like as many games in college again this week. I think that was a little bit tough. Look, one of the favorite stats of the year right now, rookie quarterbacks 1-10 against the spread. That only one win came on a rookie-on-rookie crime when we had Max Jones beat the Jets and cover for the New England Patriots. We've got a rookie quarterback, rookie head coach tonight. The Bengals are terrible, but the Jaguars are worse. So I would, I'm going to play the Bengals in some teasers. I like the Bengals team total over tonight. May have a little bit on the Bengals, especially if I can find a 7 hanging out there. But right now, I think everything on the board is a 7.5. So that's kind of my thoughts on the Thursday night game. As far as the games I like over the weekend, I think the Panthers haven't played anybody. Like the Cowboys giving 4.5 at home. I think the Browns are significantly better than the Vikings. So I'm probably going to be on the Browns on the road as small road favorites. And then the game that's kind of gone back and forth for me is this Denver against Baltimore game. I'm leaning more toward the under than anything else right now. Total set at 45. Denver's traditionally been very, very, very difficult the first couple games at home, because in that altitude with temperature, they're usually very good at home. Yep. I think the Ravens are a team that I'd be pumping the brakes a little bit, because this is going to be the best defense that they have faced. A lot of people I see are saying Ravens, Ravens, Ravens. And yes, on paper, they seem to be the better team. And the Broncos haven't faced anything either. So this is by far the best team the Broncos have faced. But I'm a little weary of playing that game. I think if you're going to end up playing it, I would lean toward the under in that spot. The only other spot that I kind of think is interesting, I like the Seahawks plus +3 here against the 49ers. The 49ers secondary is absolutely banged up. They're on their fifth and sixth cornerback. Not great when you're facing Russell Wilson and you're facing DK Metcalf. And additionally, Seattle generally plays very, very tough games against San Francisco. So 3 points there is it's enough for me to be interested.
Yeah, that division rivalry, it's kind of like Pittsburgh-Baltimore. It doesn't matter if one of the teams is really bad and the other team is really good, or they're both really bad. It's always a close match. I remember, it's what, 8 games or something, 8 straight games where the spread was 3 points or fewer, the final spread in Steelers-Ravens games. It was crazy about that one. Dr. Furand is here. UNLV, the 0-4 UNLV Fighting Rebels against the 4-0 UTSA. I forget what San Antonio's. They're not the Horned Frogs. That's TCU. Roadrunners? Is UTSA the Roadrunners?
That sounds good.
Does it matter? No.
Look, UNLV was a lot better last week. They got their starting quarterback back. He missed the game two back against Iowa State, who absolutely ran them over last week against Fresno. They actually looked pretty decent on offense. Their defense wasn't great. They had a shot to win the game into the fourth quarter. I believe it was like 35-30 in the fourth quarter. So 21 seems like a pretty big number. I don't know a ton about UTSA, so I have not really dug into this game. But if UNLV's starting quarterback is playing, they can put points on the board against mediocre defenses. Even a like Fresno at home is not – playing Fresno in Fresno is not an easy game. And that defense usually shows out, and usually the crowd's pretty wild. So UNLV plus 21 doesn't seem like such a bad idea.
UTSA's mascot is Rowdy the Roadrunner. I looked it up.
Look at that.
Speaking of random college football information that most people don't really know, check out the Dudes Who Bet Sports show. This is becoming one of my favorite things to watch. It's Aaron and Papa Dude, his dad, talking sports. Monday's the recap, the betting action. Thursdays, they look ahead at what bets they like. I don't know if you caught today's episode, but towards the end, Papa Dude says, I'm not going to go into a rant. And then he goes into a long rant. First of all, whenever somebody who's a little older than you tends to be male says, I'm not going to go on a rant, grab here some comes. Popcorn. You're about to hear a rant.
Ricky says real quick.
Yeah, that's a great example. No, Papa Duke, he went off about a time that they I can't remember the game, but they went to a game and they could tell that the football field hadn't been mowed in like 2 weeks. And so there's a big heavy favorite coming into town and they lost. And like as the team was like boarding the bus and leaving, the tractor's out there mowing the field down because they were a speed team. And this anyway, it was a really great rant. You should go listen to it. I'm clearly not doing it justice. But that is why I love the Dudes Who Bet Sports. You can catch that live stream on the YouTube channel. You can get the replay anytime on the website. You can get it as a podcast form. So plenty of ways to catch that.
That is not such an odd thing either. Like Soldier Field for a while was an under stadium where a lot of time the under would have hit because they have this. Chicago's a defensive team. They want to slow down offensive teams. And when they had these big defenses, their whole point was to slow down those offensive teams because, hey, we're just going to, you know, 3 yards in a cloud of dust. Well, if that's our style and the other team wants to try and throw a ball around, it's an advantage to have that slower turf. So it's not that odd of an occurrence when you see that ridiculously long grass out there.
We will not discuss Soldier Field or the Chicago Bears who bought Arlington Park and are tearing it down. What do you think about that? I don't understand why they want to move out of the city like that.
I think the Chicago Bears are one of the most inept franchises in the world, so there's a 50-50 chance they never even break ground.
Wouldn't that be great is if something happens and they find out, oh, this is a historical landmark. Sorry, you can't. Glad you spent $200 million, you stupid. Listen, I can't speak about NFL franchises. I'm a Lions fan. Real quick, we'll get out of here, Mike. Back to horse racing. Ross wants to know, like anyone for the last race at Belmont here, just to bring it full circle.
I had 2 and 7 as my top picks, and then the 10 and the 1. So I have kind of chalky on top. The one Constitutional Rage I gave out last time, I wish Lascano was on this horse. Lascano was originally riding the 8 Easter Chocolate. I was scratched out of the race, but Constitutional Rage won last time out at I think it was 8-1 or so. I think 17-1 is a little bit too much on him. Should sit a decent trip. I do think the 2 is the best horse. I just may or may not have thrown in a superfecta 2 over 1, 7, 10. I think the 12 is the other horse that you can throw in there if you want to play, you know, in the third or fourth spot for single race bets.
Careful giving out superfecta plays, Mike. You know what happens if they hit and it doesn't pay out like $10,000 for a superfecta. You know what will happen to you.
Yeah. You get in trouble, man. Twitter police come after you.
Twitter police come after you, especially people who just paid off their legal student loans. Mike Somich, we're going to get out of here. Folks, make sure you go to racenews.com. Check out all the free picks and the handicapping analysis. All the race results will be posted up this weekend as well. We'll be back on Monday at 5:30 Eastern, 2:30 Pacific to recap everything, discuss all the fun in horse racing and football. Follow us on Twitter. I am at Curtis Kellerworth. He is at SumOfBomb18, #1, #8, Corporate Overlords, at Racing_Dudes. Until Monday, I'm Magic.
And I'm Mike.
Good luck this weekend. Go Tiz.
The Magic Mike Show, where you hear the experts speak. The Magic Mike Show. Tune into the show every week. The Magic Mike Show. You can trust the show is the bomb because it's being brought to you by RacingDudes.com.
Death, taxes, and Magic Mike on Monday.